The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Ki Tzeitze. However, we are again going to deviate from the Parshas HaShavua to finish the series that we've been speaking about off a number of weeks. And that's on the Yud Beis Nesim, on the sacrifices for the Chanukah Samishkon, the sanctification of the sanctuary, and the Mizbeach, and the new altar, which is in Parshas Naso, and the 12 Nesim, the 12 princes, where each one brought a sacrifice on 12 consecutive days. We've given 5 shiurim in this, and we have reached now the last of the 12 Nesim. Sim Yitz Hashem, please God, we will conclude with this series with the shiur. It states in Parshas Nosei, Pasuk Ein Ches, Bamidbar Zayin, B'yem Shnei Masoyim, it was on the 12th day. This started on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, after the Mishkan, the sanctuary, was erected. B'yem Shnei Masoyim Nosi Livnei Naftoli. It was on the 12th day that the prince that came was for the Bnei Naftoli of the sons of Naftoli. He was Achira ben Enon, Achira the son of Enon. And he brought the identical korbonis that the others brought. He brought the korbonai kares kesev achas. His offering was a silver bowl, 130 weights in shekel, mizrak echod, and then a round basin, kesef shim shekel b'shekel hakodesh, the weight of 70 silver shekel, shnei maleim seilis belulav hashemen lemincha, both were full of a fine flour which was mixed with oil for the mincha, for the meal offering, kaf achas, this was a ladle, we mentioned, with 5 prongs, asor zohov, and it was the weight of 10 golden shekel, meleak toris, full of incense, par echod ben bokor, there was a single bull, ayel echod, and a single ram, keves echod, and a single sheep, ben shnosei, each in their first year, la'ola, for the burnt offering, sirizim echol echatos, there was a goat for the sin offering, lezeva hashlamim, and for the offering which was known as a shlomim, the peace offering, bokar shnayim, there were 2 bulls, elim chamisho, atudim chamisho, kvosim b'neishanor chamisho, and there were 5 rams, and 5 male goats, and 5 sheep, b'neishanor, each one in their first year, zekorban eliov ben chelon, this was the sacrifice of the eliov, the son of chelon. Now, as we explained in the last shiur, we are dealing here with the 4 camps. When they brought their sacrifices, they did not bring them in the order of their birth. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Keseder told Dosom, but rather in their order of their diglehem, of the camps, and the way they would march. This is obvious from the Parsha, and this is explained by Rashi in the beginning of the Parsha. So here that we're dealing with the last of the prince, so we're dealing with the last campsite. The last campsite was known as Degel Machne Don, the camp of Don, and it had, in that camp was Don, Osher and Naphtali. And it was finally Tzivosom. It was, they camped on the north side of the Mishkan. And they were called Ma'asev Kola Machanais, because when they marched last. And they were the Ma'asev Kola Machanais, like they picked up, they were the rear guards. Naphtali himself now, he was Ben Shishi Le Yaakov Avinu. He was the sixth son of Yaakov. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Don and Naphtali. And he was born to Yaakov through Bilhah, who was the Shivchas Rochel, the maidservant of Rochel. And he was the Ben Sheni, the second son to Bilhah. If you recall, if you look in Parshas Vayetze, Perek Lamed, Posuk Zayin, there it states that Leah had four consecutive sons, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. And Rochel did not give birth at all. So after those four, she gave her Shivcha, her maidservant, to Yaakov as a wife, and she gave birth to two sons, Don and Naphtali. States Vatar Od, she conceived the second time, Vatelet Bilhah Shivchas Rochel, Bein Sheni Le Yaakov, a second son, and this was Naphtali. So Naphtali was the sixth son to Yaakov, and the second son born to Bilhah, the maidservant of Rochel. The Medrash asks the question, Loma Hikriv Naphtali Acher Osher. This is in Medrash Rabbah Parshas Nosei, Perek Yudalet, Siv Chav Gimel. Actually, there are different, in different prints of the Medrash, there are different simonim, different numbers. But this is in one of the prints. Now the Medrash asks, Lama hikriv Naphtali achar Osher? Why did Naphtali come right after Osher? The Medrash holds as a significance to exactly who they were matched up with, who they were paired up with, and why one came before and one came after. So why did Naphtali come after Osher? And the Medrash states, the fish Osher nikrishmai al ishurin shel Yisrael. Because Osher, his name, came from the word praise. Now, last week we went in, we elaborated on this. Osher, the meaning of Osher, had two meanings, but one of the meanings, Ishruni Bonais, Ishtapchu, praise. And he would be the one who would sing the praises of Yisrael. We mentioned Yehuda would be the one who would sing the praises of Hashem, Odel Hashem. Osher would be the one who would sing the praises of Yisrael. This we went into last week. And what was the main praise of Yisrael? So the Medrash said, was Bechirosei, that they were chosen Mikol Amim, from all of the nations, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an Am Echod, a single nation that was chosen from all of the nations of the world to be the Am Hashem, Amai, the nation of Hashem. This was the main praise of Klal Yisrael. Now, why was it though that Yisrael was chosen? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose Yisrael Mikol Am? So the Medrash says, because Yisrael was the only nation which would accept his Torah. The Medrash in the Gemara tells us, Chozar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Etzokola Umes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to all of the nations and asked them to receive his Torah. And they all asked Maksiv Baruch, what's written in it? And they said, this one said, I don't like it, and this one said, I don't like what's written in it. So therefore, none of them accepted it. But when it came to Yisrael, Omru Nasev Nishma, we will accept it and we will do whatever is written in it. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael. So, the Medrash says that since the reason why Klal Yisrael was chosen was because of the Torah. And Naphtali, he was named after the Torah. Naphtali Nikra Shmei Al HaTorah. In a minute we'll bring the Medrash to explain how was he named after the Torah. And therefore, since Osher was the praise of Israel, and the main praise of Israel is that they were chosen. But why were they chosen? Because they would be the ones to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Therefore, Naphtali came after Osher, because Naphtali's name represented Torah. This is why, in other words, they were a zug. They were a pair. This is why we say Asher Bochar Bono Mikolo Hamim V'Nosan Lono Es Toroso. He chose us from all of the nations to give us the Torah. This was the reason why he chose us. Actually, from here we see you always had people in Israel that held it was very special to be a Jew, very special to be a special nation, or very special to have Eretz Yisrael. And at the same time, they were kofrim the Torah. They rejected the Torah. So this is a rebuke, because we were not chosen merely because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to choose us. We were chosen from all of the nations of the world because we were the ones who would accept the Torah. That's why he chose us. Asher bocha bono mikolo amim v'nosan lono es torasoi. So therefore, since Osher represented the praise, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected us from all of the nations, and the reason was because we would accept his Torah, and Naphtali's name is named after Torah, therefore Osher and Naphtali were a pair, and they brought their sacrifices together. Now the Medrash asks another question. Good question. If that's the case, so maybe Naphtali should come before Osher, because the Torah is more important than Israel. So maybe first should come Naphtali and then Osher. So the Medrash says no. Lama bo achar Osher. Why did he come after Osher? Answers, Kishem Shemach Shevish Yisrael also Tchila Lifnei HaMokom V'Akach Kak Tikein Lohem Torah Lohem Higdim Osher LeNaphtali. Because first HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was before the creation of the world, decided to create a nation like Israel. And only after that did he create the Torah. So the Medrash is telling us a great chidush, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first determined that he would create Israel, and only afterwards did he determine that he would create the Torah. Therefore, first should come Israel, and that was Osher, and then should come the Torah, that was Naphtali. Now what does this mean, that first he created Israel and then afterwards he created the Torah? There's a pirush in the Medrash called the Marazu, and he makes a notation to look in the Bereishis Rabba, Perek Aleph, Siman Dalet, and there the Medrash Rabba says as follows. This is right at the beginning of the Sefer Torah and the Pasuk Bereishis Bara Elokim, that Hashem in the beginning created the Shemaim Vores, the heavens and the earth. Vav Dvorim Kodmu Lebriyas Ha'olam. The Torah tells us about the creation of heavens and earth. But what happened before then? What existed before the creation of heavens and earth? So it states six things existed before the creation of the world. Yesh Mehan Nivru'u. Some HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually created beforehand. Yesh mehen she'olu b'machshava li boris. And some HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a decision to create them, but did not create them beforehand. And what are the six HaTorah BaHakisei HaKoved. First was Torah, then was Kisei HaKoved. Excuse me, this is not the proper order. The order it will explain, but the Torah and the Kisei HaKoved, the Torah and the Holy Throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were created, Nivru. They were created before the creation of the world. HaOvesh, the forefathers, Yisrael, the nation of Israel, Beis HaMikdosh, the sanctuary, and Shmei Shel Mashiach, and the name of the Mashiach. What exactly the name of Mashiach means, this can be argued. Does it mean the name of the Mashiach, or does it mean the one who would be the Mashiach? But at any rate, Shmei Shel Mashiach, these four Olu B'machshava Lihivros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create them before the creation of the world, but he took a decision that they will be created. So we have Vav Dvorim. There were six great undertakings which HaKadosh Baruch Hu either created or took a decision to create before the creation of the world. Two he actually created. That was the Torah and the Kisei HaKoved, his throne of glory. And four, he took a decision to create. And these were the Oves, the forefathers, Israel, Beis HaMikdosh, the sanctuary, and the Shmei Shel Mashiach, the name of the Mashiach. Then the Medrash carries on. Aval ein yode eizeh mehem kodem. I don't know which he created first, or which he took a decision to create first. Rafuna v'Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Reb Shmuel b'Rabbi Yitzchok omar machshavten shel Yisrael kodma l'chol dover. The decision to create Yisrael preceded all six. First he took a decision to create Yisrael. Then, only afterwards, did he create the Torah and the others. Why? Moshe l'melech shi'anosui l'matrona achas. So the Medrash gives an example. There was a king who was married to a princess, v'lohoya le'mimeno ben, and she did not have a son from him. Pam achas, one time nimtza ha'melech over b'shuk, the king was walking in the marketplace, and he saw a very beautiful pen and with some beautiful ink. So he told his servant, Telu melonim bikilomin zeh livni. Go buy that pen and that ink for my son. Va'kol embrim bein einloi. And everybody wondered, he has no son and he's buying pens and ink for his son. Wasn't long afterwards that his princess conceived, and then she gave birth. Chosru v'omru, and then everybody said, Ishta Logos, Godel Hu. What a great astrologist the king is. Ilule Shatzofa Amelech Shu Asid. Had not the king seen, could foretell that he would want, that he was going to have a son, he would have never brought the pen and the ink for the son. The same with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to write a Torah, and especially write in the Torah, Tzavis B'nai Yisrael, command Yisrael, Daber al B'nai Yisrael, speak to B'nai Yisrael, unless he had already knew beforehand that 26 generations afterwards, after the creation of the world, there would be a nation of Israel that would accept the Torah. He's not going to create a Torah without knowing for sure that there'll be a nation that will accept his Torah. Because the whole purpose of the Torah was is that there should be a nation that would bring it into the world. So therefore, first he had to come to the decision that he will create Israel. After that, then he wrote the Torah. And that is how he was able to write the Torah before the creation of the world. Daber el b'nei Yisrael, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael, where all of the commands go to Yisrael. So we see a very great chiddush, something very unique, that six great creations HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt with before the creation of the world. Two he actually created, four he took a decision that he will create them. The first that he dealt with is that there would be a Yisrael. And only after that could he deal with writing the Torah. Therefore, Osher, that represented the praise of Yisrael, and Naphtali, that represented the praise of Torah, first came Osher with his sacrifices, and then came Naphtali afterwards. Where do we find that Naphtali, his name is Al Shem HaTorah, is the name of the Torah? So the Medrash brings, because the word Naphtali, if we divide it into two, reads Nefes Li. Nefes Li. What does Nefes Li mean? Nefes, the Medrash says, comes from the Posuk in Tehillim Yud Daled. We say it, HaNechamodim Mizov Umipoz Rav Umisukim Midvash V'Nofes Sufim. That Torah is more precious than gold and great wealth, great jewels. It is sweeter than honey. V'Nefes Sufim. Nofes Sufim means the drippings of the honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. The word nefes comes from nofes, which refers to Torah. Li, that's the numerical value of Li, Lamed Yud, is 40. That refers to Torah that was given in 40 days. Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain for 40 days. So Naphtali, Naphtali, his name means Nefes Li, the sweetness which was given in 40 days, which refers to Torah. Incidentally, this drosha is not in accordance to the droshas which are brought by Rashi, which are the common droshas in Parshas Vayetze. In Perek Lamed Posuches, when Naphtali was born. See, when Naphtali was born, there it states, "Vateme Rochel." Rochel said, "Naphtuli Elakim Niftalti Imachesi Gam Yecholti." Vatikra Shmei Naphtali, and that word Naphtule Elakim Niftalti. It's a difficult word to translate what it means. So Rashi offers three explanations. He brings from Menachem ben Soruk. It means chibur. I have bound myself. I have been bound to my sister. He brings another pirush, which is his own, which comes from the word psilo. I have been twisted around with my sister. And then he brings the third pirush from Targum Onkelos, Loshen Tfilo, which means prayer. But whatever, this is not going according to the drosho that we have in the Medrash here. Then the Medrash says another pshat. Why does Naphtali come together with Osher, and Osher precedes and Naphtali follows? It says because we find that that's the way Yaakov blessed them, and Yaakov gave them similar brochas. If we look in Parshas Vayechi by the Birchas Yaakov to the sons in Mem Tes Posuk Chof and Chof Aleph, there to Osher he gave the brocha which we spoke about last week. May Osher Shmeina Lachmai, from Osher here's bread will be fat, and we said that his bread will be fat. V'hu yitein madani melech, and he will give great gifts of all kind of good things to the kings. So we explained that firstly this grows on his land, and his land will be fat and bring forth all beautiful fruits. And in particular, we said it went on oil, shmeina lachmai. So that was Osher. So Osher was blessed with a very, very fertile land that will bring forth olive trees and all types of good things. Then the bracha to Naftali was, Naftali ayola shlucha. Naftali will be like a ayola, that's a female ayol. Ayol is a type of deer, a very, very beautiful deer, and a very swift deer. So Naftali was like the swift deer, Hamesen Imre Shofer, and he would give forth beautiful words. Now what does this mean? So the Medrash is explaining, like Rashi brings in Parshas Vayechi, what does it mean that he's a swift deer? Rashi says, Zu Bikas Ginusar. This is referring to the valley of Ginusar, which was in the territory of Naftali. Shihikalo Levashul Peiroseha. This valley, this was a, we'll speak in a minute, we'll say, find out where this valley was. But this was an immense valley, which was Kalo Levashul Peiroseha, which would very easily ripen all of her fruits. Ka'ayolo zu shihikala lorutz. In other words, the drosha that Rashi is bringing is that, not that he was swift like a deer, this is also true, but this is a parable. This is a comparison that his territory will be as swift as this deer. It will bring forth its fruits far before all other lands will bring forth its fruits. And it will be so fertile. And it will have so much moisture and sunlight that it will bring forth beautiful fruits as easy as this type of deer runs. Whenever you see these deers, two things you see from them. Besides their beauty, you see their swiftness, but you see with the easy grace that they run. This is how this valley will bring forth its fruits. Now, the Targum brings similar, where he brings Naftali Ba'ara Tova Yisrami. He will have a beautiful land. Askante Tehema Abdu Perin, and beautiful fruits. Yon Modanum Avorchin Alehain. What does it mean? Anesin Imre Sofer. And everyone will bless him for it. They will give him beautiful words because of his beautiful fruits. So we see that the two brochas were very similar. Osher was said Shmeina Lachmai. He'll have a very fat land that will be so fertile that it'll bring all kind of beautiful things, including the olives. And he will be able to give the most beautiful gifts, the rare fruits and the spices and so forth to the king. And Naftali will be Ayola Shlucha, where his land will be like a swift deer that will give forth its fruits so quickly and so easily. And everyone will give him beautiful words on this. If we look further into the to understand this a little better, if we go to Parshas Zeisa Brocha and we see what Moshe blessed Naftali with. This is in Devarim Lamed Gimel Pasuk Chav Gimel. Ul Naftali Omar. Moshe said to Naftali, say, Naftali Seva Rotzein. Naftali will be Seva Rotzein. This means he will be full and satisfied. He will lack nothing. Umole Birkas Hashem. his land will be full of the brachas of Hashem. Yom v'doraim yerosho. He shall go inherit the sea in the south. Now, this that's mentioned, that he should go inherit the sea in the south. Now, the sea was on the west, and the south is the south. And this is a kasha. It's a question. Because Naphtali was not on the sea. Zvulun was on the sea, and there were others, but not Naphtali. And secondly, Naphtali was not in the south, he was in the north. So what does it mean, Yom V'dorim Yeroshai, that he should inherit the sea, which is always in the west, and Doraim in the south? The Targum brings, Ula Naphtali Omar, Naphtali Sivarava, Umalei Birchun Min Kor Mashem, Marav Yom Ginesar, Udraima Yoreis. He will inherit, he will be to the west of the Yam Ginesar. The Yam Ginosar is the Kinneret. The Ginosar means Kinneres. So the Mephorishim say that his territory will be the Yam, the sea, but not the Yam Agodl, the Mediterranean, but the Yam Kinneret. He will be on that, to the west of that and to the south of it. And he will be to the west and the south of to the west and the south of Don. Don was on the north, and he was right below. And this is what now what Rashi means when he quotes the Gemara, Bikas Ginosar, the valley of Ginosar. That was the valley of the Kinneret. The valley of the Kinneret is a very, very fertile valley. And that was given to Naphtali. And that will give forth its fruits as graceful and as easy and as swiftly as a deer. And he was given Birchas Oretz, the brachas of the Oretz. So, since he was given the brachas of the Oretz, and we see Osher also was given, Shmeil Alachma, he was also given the brachas of the Oretz by Yaakov. Therefore, and first Yaakov gave to Osher and then to Naphtali, so the Medrash says that's another reason why the Seder was that first Osher brought and then Naphtali. Okay, so now the Medrash has explained at length two reasons to the particular order. Why Osher came and then Naphtali. Now comes another question. And that's what the Medrash asks. What was the particular intent of Naphtali with his korbonis? And this is what we have been speaking about continually, that they all brought the identical korbonis sacrifices. And even though they were all identical, and there was a general intent, but each one had his own particular and special intent for the particular role that his shevet played. So the Medrash now wants to know what was the intent, the particular intent of Naphtali with his korbanis. Rabbi Yehuda Naimar, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Kineger ha'oves v'imosh, hikriv nosi Naphtali." The prince of Naphtali brought all of his sacrifices in honor of the forefathers, the patriarchs and the matriarchs. Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Sarah and Rifkin, Rachel and Leah. Why? So the Medrash says, because Naphtali himself, that was the great-grandfather of this prince, Kibeir es oviv yesh midai. He was excelled in honoring his fathers. She oviv sholcho lechol mokum she yirtzeh. This that we said, that his land was like ayola shlucha, like this swift deer, this was not only with the land, this was with him also. Naphtali himself was very, very fast, very swift. And because of that, Yaakov would send him on all types of errands. And he would comply. He would want to go. Wherever Yaakov would ask him to go, he would go, and he would go with an enormous swiftness. And Yaakov would have much nachas and brocha from him, and nachas and pleasure from him. And the imor of ne'imim olav, and he would have pleasure from him and from what he would say. Lekach borchu aviv ba'ayola shlucha, and therefore Yaakov gave him a brocha that he should be like the swift deer, shayarotz b'mishloch chosei ke'ayola, that he would run like the swift deer. And that's why also he blessed him b'imrei shofer al shayoye imor of shforim, and he blessed him with beautiful words that everyone would, his words would be beautiful, and everyone would say beautiful words about him. This and this bracha we see was with him and in his land. The Medrash incidentally brings, it doesn't bring a direct reason, but it states it was because of this that Naphtali, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a great miracle from the Naphtali. And this was in the war between Barak and Sisera. He was from Naphtali. This is referring to in the Novi and Shaftim Perek Dalet, where it states, "Vayosifa b'nei Yisrael la'asis hara b'nei Hashem," that the b'nei Yisrael were continuing to do evil in the eyes of Hashem. The Ehud Meis, and Ehud had died, and they fell into the hands of Yovin Melech Kenan, Yovin the king of Kenan, and his Sar Tzavo, his general, his commander in chief was Sisera. And Klal Yisrael cried to Hashem because he had 900 iron chariots, and he afflicted Klal Yisrael for 20 years. And this is the story of Devorah. Devorah was a prophetess, the wife of Lapidus, and she was judging Israel at that time. And Vatishlach Vatikra Levorak Ben Avineha. And she went and she sent for Borak, the son of Avineha, Mikeresh Naphtali, who was from Naphtali. And she said that a prophecy had come to her. She said, "Go and go to Har Tavor and take with you 10,000 men from Naphtali and from Zvulun." They both were in that area in the north. "And if you will go up against Sisera, you will destroy him." So the Novi tells over the whole story of what took place. So this was from Naphtali. And the Medrash says that the miracle was executed through Naphtali because of the way he had fulfilled the mitzvah of kibud, where he honored his parents. There's a Gemara in Masechet Seita which also speaks of this. The Gemara brings in it speaks of the speed of Naphtali. Moris in Daf Yud Gimel, it states that Yosef took Yaakov after Yaakov had died in Egypt. Yosef took him back to Eretz Yisrael, to Moris Machpelah, to the cave of Machpelah, for him to be buried. And when they came there, looking for it, Kibun Shigil Amaris Machpelah, also Esav. When they came to the cave of Machpelah, Esav came. Koma Akev, and he wouldn't allow them to bury Yaakov in the cave. Omelehem Mamre Kiryas Arbi Hi Hebron. The cave was to be known as Kiryas Arba, which means that it had place for four zugim, four pairs, eight people to be buried. Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve were buried there, Avram and Sora, Yitzchok and Rivka, and then there were two other places. So Yaakov had buried Leah on one, and now they were going to bury Yaakov. Iu kovra leleah bididei. So Esav said there were two other places. One is mine and one is Yaakov, because we both inherited Yitzchok. So therefore one goes to me and one is for Yaakov. And he buried Leah in his place, so the other one is for me. So they answered Esav and they said, but you sold your rights to Yaakov. He says, I sold him my firstborn birthright. That was the extra portion that I get. But the regular portion that I inherited, I never sold it. No, you sold him even the regular portion. Because Yaakov left over instructions before he died. He said, bury me in that cave which I purchased. He said that I had purchased. So our father Yaakov had told us that he purchased this from you. Esav said, bring me the documents. Bring me the deed of sale. He said, the document of sale, the deed of sale is in Egypt. So Esav said, I'm not letting you in until you show me the document. Man Nasal. So they said, we have to send someone back for the document. Nasal Naftoli, the Kalu Ki Ayiloso. Let's send Naftoli back because he's as swift as a deer. Dixiv Naftoli Ayola Shlucha. Hanesin Imri Shofer. Al Tikre Mishofer Im. Yeah, okay. Imre Sefer. That he was blessed that he would be as quick as a deer. And he would be able to bring back the document. Imre Shofer, Imre Sefer. He'll be able to bring back the document. So they sent Naftoli. So here also is we see the swiftness of Naftoli. As it happened though, they didn't need him because Hushim Berei Dedon Tamon Hava. Hushim was the son of Don. And V'yikri Le Adineho. And he was hard of hearing. He couldn't hear well. And he didn't know what was going on. He just saw that the burial was being delayed. He says, my high, what's happening? So they told him that Esav is preventing the burial until Naftali returns from Egypt. He said, and until Naftali returns from Egypt, so our grandfather is going to be left in disgrace. In other words, waiting to be buried. Shoka kulpa. So he took a big stick, machia resho, and he hit Esav on the head. Natrine neha. His eyes fell out. Nofla karadi Yaakov. They fell out on Yaakov. Pachtinen Yaakov leineha. Yaakov opened up his eyes. Vochich and he smiled. And that's what it states, Yismak Tzadik Hichozo Nokom. Poem of Yerhez Badama Roshe, because he was able to see finally the revenge from all of the tzoras and affliction that Esav gave him. But Esav Shon Yiskaim on the Voasisho Rivka. And at that time now, at that hour was fulfilled the prophecy of Rivka that she said, Loma Eshkol Gam Shnechem Yim Echod. She had said, why shall I lose both of my sons on one day? Even though they didn't die on the same day, but the kfura, the burial was on the same day. Incidentally, there's a Teisfus in Rabbi Shai Fitbalim brings a Teisfus from Gittin in Nun Hei Amud Beis, where it states that the Romans who made decrees on Israel would make first their decrees against Yehuda. Why? because they had it in tradition that Yehuda killed their grandfather Esav. So Tesus asked the Kasha, here we see there was Hushim bar Don, the son of Don, killed their grandfather Esav, not Yehuda. So he asked that. He brings the Yishalmi on it. And they also would darshan that how do we know that Yehuda killed? Because it states in the Brocha that Yaakov gave to Yehuda, it states, Yotcha ba'eref eivecha. Your hand will be at the back of the neck of your enemy. This would show that Yehuda would be the one that would kill Esav. So he says it could be that Hushim hit him over the head, but he didn't die from that. They maced by Sakor. And then Yehuda came and he finished the job. So Yehuda was Yotcha ba'eref eivecha, he was the one who killed Esav. So the Medrash carries on, and the Medrash says, "Ulefisha Naftoli hoya zohir bechera veisov." Since Naftoli was so careful in giving honor to his parents and his grandparents and so forth, "Lefichoch nosi Naftoli loman me'avi oviv." Therefore, Naftoli learned, the prince of Naftoli learned from his grandfather Naftoli. Yehocha says darkei, and he followed in this way, and therefore he wanted to bring all of his korbanos, all of his sacrifices, al seder avesav imesav shel Naftoli. He wanted to bring all of his sacrifices in honor of all of the forefathers and the matriarchs of Naftoli. And then the Medrash itemizes, which we will quote a few. For example, the Medrash says, "Karas kesev achas shleishim umeya mishkolo." He brought the bowl, one bowl, which was from silver, 130 weights of shekel. This was in honor of Sora, because karas comes from the word karas, spells akeras. Akeres means the mainstay. She was the Akeres Abayis. He hoiso ikorimos, so hoiso rishona. The main foundation of the Beis Yisrael was Sora. The woman is known as the Akeres Abayis, the foundation of the house. And the main foundation of the house of Yisrael was Sora, because she was the first one. So that's what the Karo was. Kesef, silver, what did that represent? Shoisa tzadikis, that she was righteous. As it states, Kesev nifchar loshen tzadik. Silver always represents righteousness. The Maral gives the reason, because the silver is totally pure. It is so pure it has no color. He says, silver, you enjoy looking at silver not because of its color. Gold has a beautiful color, but silver has no color, and the more you refine it, the less color it has. But what is the beauty of silver? Of its purity, where you remove all types of foreign elements from it. And this is the tzaddik. See, the tzaddik is the tohor. He's not influenced by foreign elements, and he's aimed b'tzikosei, with his purity. So the kesev represented that Sora was a tzadikis. Achas, one, this represented shoyisa yichido bedora tzadikis, she was the only one. In her generation, she was the only woman like that. Mea ushleishi mishkola. It was 130, the weights of 130 shekel. This represents the years of Sora. Sora lived, the Medrash brings, Sora lived just a bit under 130. States Kufchov Zayin. She lived 127 years. Ruba Kekula. Whenever you have the huge majority, that's as if it's a total. So she lived approximately 130 years. Therefore, this was the significance of the 130 pieces of weights of silver. Then he brought Mizrok Echot, Kesef Shivim Shekel. A Mizrok. The Mizrok, we said, was a round bowl, and it was called, it was like a bowl. That's why it was called Mizrok, Zorak, that you throw. And there was one, and it was Kesef, silver, and 70 shekels, the weight of 70. Ze Avraham. This represents Abraham. Shenizrak me Arzoi. He was thrown from his land, umibeis Oviv, and from the house of his father. Like a Kodesh Baruch Hu told Abraham, Lech lacha me Arzecha, umimaladetecha, umibeis Ovicha. Elor es asher ha'eko. Throw yourself out from your land. Uproot yourself from your land and from your birthplace and from your father's house and go to the land which I will show you. Echod, one. Echod hoy Avraham, it states in Yecheskel. There was only one Avraham. Avraham was the single person that brought light to the world. The rest followed him. Kesef, again it was silver. Shohayat Tzadik, because he was righteous. Shivim Shekel, what does 70 represent? Avraham was 70 years old when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and made the Bris Bein Abesorim. That was the covenant where he had him cut the animals into pieces. And that was the main covenant that Hashem made with Abraham. And that's where he promised that after Egypt, your children will go out and they will go to the land which I will give them. And he was 70 years old then. How do we know he was 70 years old? The Medrash explains, because this took place 30 years before the birth of Yitzchak. How do we know this took place 30 years before the birth of Yitzchak? Because it states in Shmos Yud Beis, when Klal Yisrael was going out of Egypt, Vayhi Miketz Shleshim Shona Ve'arba Meya Shona, Vayhi Be'etzem Ayim Azer, that exactly 430 years later did Klal Yisrael go out of Egypt. Now what was the 430 years? 400 years we know, because Hashem said that for 400 years Geri Yazaracha, that your children will be strangers. But what's the 430 years? So the 430 years must represent 430 years since the decree, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avraham and made this decree. Exactly 430 years later, after the decree, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, that very day, Klal Yisrael went out. So we see that, and the decree began with the birth of Yitzchak, because it states, your children will be strangers. Once Yitzchak was born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to count, because they were strangers. They were not in their own land. Eretz Yisrael didn't belong to them yet. So therefore, if this took place 30 years on, therefore Avraham must have been 70 years old at this time. So that's what the 70 represents. Then it states, Shneim aleim soles belula b'shem anamincha. They were both full. Both of these vessels were full with flour mixed with oil for the mincha, for the offering. What does it mean they were both full? Both Avraham and Sarah were full of maisim tovim. Many times you'll have a husband might be full of maisim tovim and the wife not, or vice versa. Here both were. How do we know? Because it states, v'sanefesh asher osu b'chorun, the lives which they made in Chorum, Melame, to teach us that Avraham Megayer Es Anoshim, Vesor Megayer Es Anoshim, that just like Avraham would teach the men about Hashem and Torah, so would Sora teach the women about Torah and Hashem and bring them close to Hashem. Then it states, Kaf Achas Asorah Zov Meleik Torahs. There was this ladle which was one, and it, the weight of 10 pieces of gold and full of incense. This refers again in honor of Avraham. Kaf comes from the word koth kefer, to bend, because the ladle is bent over. This refers to Avraham that bent and overpowered his Yetzirah. Asorah, 10. During the 10 times HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested him, there was no one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested like Avraham, 10 times. And Melea Ketores, he was full of incense. It was full of incense. Avraham was full of deeds that were as beautiful before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as incense. Then it states, Ulezevach HaShlomim Boker Shnayim, for the Shlomim, the peace offering, they brought he brought two bulls. Shnayim, the two represents now the next generation, Yitzchok and Rivka. Shlomim means they were complete, total, Shoya Tamimim. Yitzchok and Rivka were Tomim, they lacked nothing in their perfection. And the Medrash says both were B'nai Melochim. They both were the children of kings. How were Yitzchok and Rivka the children of kings? Yitzchok was the son of Avraham. The Chazal tell us Avraham was a king. Avram. He was called the father of Aram. He was the king of Aram. Rivka, so the Medrash brings, in the Beforshia Medrash bring from Pirkei the Blazer, Perek Mem Beis, Osei, that Bisuel, the father of Rivka, was also the king of Aram Naraim. And later on he gave that kingship over to Avraham, because Avraham was Nesi Elakim. He represented Hashem also. So they were both the children of kings. And the Meforish, which I quoted before, the Marazu, he brings, that's why it was two bulls, because the bulls represent the kings of the king of the domesticated beast. Then it states, so this was now in honor of Yitzchok and Rivka. So we have Avram and Sora and Yitzchok and Rivka. Now it states, Elim Chamisha, Aturim Chamisha, Kvos Menei Shono Chamisha. The other sacrifices for the Shlomim were five rams, five goats, and five sheep. Why three meaning? Why three different types? This was in honor of Yaakov, Leah, and Rachel. This was the third generation of their fathers. Yaakov and his two wives, Leah and Rachel. And why five of each? Because the five of each three species adds up to 15. And Yaakov, his family was 15. There was Yaakov and Leah and Rachel, that's three, and the 12 Shvatim. So adds up to 15. So this was an honor he brought of Avraham's generation and Yitzchok's generation and Yaakov's generation and then his father Naphtali's generation. So we explained why Naphtali came after, together with Osher, and why Naphtali came after Osher. The two explanations in the Medrash, and what his particular intent was. While we're speaking on the mitzvah that Naphtali seemed to excel in, on honoring his parents, and this is why he was given these brochas, I would like to just mention two notes on the mitzvah of Kibbur Avim, which I recently saw, which tells us not only how great of a mitzvah this is, but how strict of a mitzvah this is. In Yoredeya Simen Reish Mem Aleph Sivov, the Mechaber brings, Kol Amavaze Ovi V'Imai Afilu V'Dvorim, Vafila Beremiso, whoever shames or insults his father or mother, even with words, or even with remiza. Remiza means not full words, but just subtle remarks or gestures. Hareze bechlal oru mipi akvura. He's included in a curse from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, as it states, and this is in next week's parshan, Kisova, Echov Zayin, Tes Zayin, Oru Makle Ovi V'imai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that cursed should be the one who makes light of his father or mother. Then it says, V'yesh lebezdin lahakish asel makas mardus v'lenosh kifi masheroi, at the time when we had the enforcement of the Botei Dinim, the Bezdin, the courts were commanded to enforce and to punish those that did this. And then there's a Hagor in Shulchan Aruch called Shiurei Brocha, where he brings from the Sefer Charedim, Bechlal ze im mevazehu belibay. Included in this is even one who insults his father or mother, makes light of his father or mother, even in his heart, in his mind. In other words, not only if he doesn't express it, and or even a remiso, where he expresses it as a gesture, but even in his mind. And he brings from the Sefer Charedim and says, Charedim vehevi rayos al zeh, which he brought proofs to. That's one note. The second note is there it states in Siv Dalet, Hoyo ovi vimei rishoim gemurim. What happens if a person's father and mother were Rishoyim Gemorim? Evil people. Every Avera. They transgressed the worst Averas. And they transgressed Averas where they are guilty of the death penalty from the Beis Din. And the Beis Din is giving them the death penalty. This was during the time of the Sanhedrin. And afilu nigmar dinam laharigu v'yeitzim lehorek. And the courts now were taking them out to be executed. Still, a son cannot hit them or curse them. And the Shiure Brocha there says, he brings from the Zayir HaKodesh, Chelek Alef Seif Daf Kuf Samach Dalet, the Rochel Imenu Ole Asholom Nansha Al Shetziar Ole Loven Oviho. Why was Rachel punished? Because she brought anguish to her father Lavan when she stole the trophim. She stole from him his Avodah Zorah, his idol. Afshin iskavnu la'afrishu me'Avodah Zorah, even though her intentions were totally l'shem mitzvah, she wanted to take his idol away from him so he shouldn't serve Avodah Zorah. Nevertheless, Lachain Meso Velezoch so legadl binyomin. The Zera says this is why she died and never had the schus and the pleasure to bring up binyomin, but she died at childbirth. So this is shows you that Hechan Advorim Agim, see how far the mitzvah of Kibbur Aveim goes, to the point where you cannot do anything that will cause them any anguish or suffering. We now finish the 12 Nesim. The last one was Naphtali. Perhaps we could say a reason why Naphtali, he finalized all of the Nesim. In the Brocha of Meisha Rabbeinu to Naphtali, this is in Zeisa Brocha, which we read, states Ula Naphtali Oma Naphtali Svarotzen Umole Birkas Hashem. Naphtali will be Svarotzen. He will be Rashi brings Seveya called Rotzen Yeshveho. His land will bring total satisfaction to all of those who live there. Umole Birkas Hashem will be full of Birkas Hashem. It uses the word sova, by Naphtali. Sova is the ultimate in totality. Yachalta v'savoto. Many times you eat, but chosar, you're still lacking. Savato, svia, means where the person lacks nothing. He has everything he needs. That's what the word sava means. And this represents totality of brochas. And that follows. It says, mole birkas Hashem. It doesn't say birkas Hashem. Mole birkas Hashem. He is full of birkas Hashem. Full means where it lacks nothing. Marab brings that the word shvi, seven, comes from the word sabiyah. It's the same root word. And that's why Shabbos is on Yema Shvi. Because the Medrash brings that what did HaKadosh Baruch create Shabbos for? Because after he created everything, the world was still chosar, was still lacking. What was it lacking? It says it was lacking menucha. So came Shabbos, came menucha. When there is no menucha, that means that menucha comes from where noch, to stop. When there is no menucha, that means people are still striving to get something which they lack. When they have everything, then it's noch. Then it stops. And this is what Shabbos represented. And that's why Shabbos is from another world. State Shabbos is Mein Olam Haba. Because this world is the Olam Atircha, Atirdo. This is a world where we cannot stop. While in this world we're constantly seeking what we lack. But Shabbos brought the Barucha, where we could stop. Ma Chosa Eilam, the world was lacking. Bo Shabbos Bo Menucha. Shabbos came and brought Menucha, and this was Sholem. Sholem also comes from the same word. Sholem means when it's finished, when it's full. So that always denotes when something is final. If you're writing a book and you finish it, you write at the end Tam V'Sholem. See, it's total now. Kodesh Baruch Hu created a world and he finishes it. Shabbos was the stamp that was Sholem. A person paints a picture, until he finishes it, it always needs more, and therefore he can't rest. Only after it needs nothing else, then he can rest. So this is where the word Shiva comes from, and this is where the word Sova comes from. This brocha was given to Naphtali. As it states, Svarotzen. He will be Svarotzen. He will have the brocha of Sfia. Umole Birkas Hashem. He will be full of Birkas Hashem. So this is the greatest brocha. This is the brocha which denotes totality, Shlemus, that there is nothing lacking. And this is really our emes, not for this world, because this world is always lacking. Just on Shabbos it's not. But otherwise it is. That's why it states that in the next world will be the world where there will be Menucha all of the time. So it could be that this is why Naphtali was chosen to be the last, because he was Mashlim. See, he brought totality to all of the Yud Beis Shvatim, and then totality to all of the Machnes, the camps, the Degolim, and totality to the Korbanes of the Mishkan, where he had this bracha of Shiva of Sova. This concludes this series on the Yud Beis Shvatim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.